1986, a year so nice they named it twice, but with a different number. To Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Joe.
Guys, today, not a new game, but all the games.
Every single one, guys.
I don't think that's even true.
Except for the games that weren't in 1986.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I was really getting at. We're not going to review 28,000 plus games. We're just going to talk about the ones that came out in 1986 in North America for the NES. This is our best of 1986. So before we start talking about, like, you know, our favorite games of 86 or our least favorite games, I think we should really just, like, recap a little bit about the year and stuff like that. I'd love to just kind of... Yeah. Sum up some thoughts or, you know, just like your general impression, kind of like how we do like first impressions. What's your general impression of 86?
I would say that 1986 was like sort of Nintendo sophomore slump. I'm not saying that that this was a particularly bad year because it had some great games in it, but it was very sporadic in the quality of those games. So it wasn't the home run that 1985 was in terms of a launch lineup, but you know, between the introduction of third-party releases and some good first-party stuff, it was hit and miss.
Sam,
I think that this is the year that we start kind of seeing the separation from Nintendo and the arcade a little bit more, where we're seeing games that are more linear, even though they have mostly arcade elements to them. Like take something like Mach Rider, like it is something that would fit at an arcade. But it's got, like, a little bit of a story to it. Or you got, like, Gumshoe, which is completely linear.
Right, know? Right.
And they don't really nail the execution on a lot of these games. But we're starting to see this kind of, I think, a step in a different direction.
A lot of their launch games were also on the Verse system, which is their arcade home kind of thing. So yeah. Now you're starting to see. And I think, like, some of these games also did get Verse system ports. I know Mach Rider did get one, but it didn't, like, come in with, like, the arcade in mind first. I see what you're saying there. Joe? Yeah.
So my opinion's kind of, like, it contradicts itself a little bit. Because when I first think of 1986, I think, like, there weren't that many great games in there. But then when I'm looking through to decide my top five, I'm like, oh, there are a lot of games I really liked in here. So I think what it boils down to for me is that 86, even the games that we have in our essential list are the games that I really liked in 86, I don't think are as good as the games that were great in 85. Like, there was not a Super Mario Brothers or a Duck Hunt in 86 to me.
Okay. I think for me, you know, looking at the bigger picture, right, we got 1986 is now really like the NES launch in America. So we've played those launch games in 85 if we're considering ourselves part of like that select New York City group. But for a lot of people in 1986 was like their first chance to even get hold of Super Mario Brothers. So you have to think like not only did they get all of these cool games in 86, but they also got all the games we already talked about in 85. So I don't really know if like Nintendo's failing, but for me the big story here is that as much as Nintendo's trying to be something different than the consoles before them with this Nintendo quality seal and being like, you know, the gatekeepers kind of between good and bad games, they're allowing a lot of bad games specifically from third party. I think a lot of the games that we played from third party were not strong with the exception of like maybe one or two standouts. Anybody disagree with that? Like, third party right now doesn't sound that great to me.
No, it's looking like another, like, in a different timeline, this could have, like, just devolved into another, like, Atari 2600 sort of thing. Like, if we're just judging it by this short sample size. But obviously, 1987 happened. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing with third parties in particular here is that, you know, maybe it's like the first time that they're getting their hands on like the NES as a console, and or the Famicom for that regard, and they're trying to figure out like how to port their arcade hits over, because a lot of those games that we were seeing were kind of like arcade hits, so they just didn't translate well in their NES ports. I mean, we talk about like 1942 there for a second, and it's like that's a great game on the arcade, but the NES port was kind of lacking for us, and it's just, you know, like, no one really wanted to play 32 levels of that, and the, you know, like, the length of it didn't make it, like, feel like a home console experience. It just made it feel like a drag.
Yeah, I think it's similar to, like, in more modern systems, like, the PS2 had that very exotic CPU that a lot of people found difficult to program with.
I think it was PS3, right?
Or was it the PS3?
Yeah, the Cell, right? The Cell. Right.
I was thinking of the Emotion engine, but I guess it was the Cell. But eventually that became like just as competitive as the Xbox 360. So, right. I mean, I think over time, like when people learn the hardware, it becomes easier to make good games third party.
It's interesting to see this become, like, a common problem for Nintendo's second year stuff. Like, we're seeing it even now with the Switch, but, like, even N64 had this problem of, like, getting non-third-party titles, like, only third-party titles, like, out of the gates, and, like, the GameCube had, like, the last realms of third-party support before, like, the Wii became something completely different than the PS2 and the Xbox. So it's just like, the PS3 and the Xbox 360. So it's just like, it's weird to see Nintendo continue to like struggle with this, even though we know that they're going to succeed. But it's like, even at their very first console, they're still having like this trouble with third-party support.
Right, and to piggyback off of Sean's point, it feels very similar to the PlayStation in the sense that everything was being ported from Xbox because they made things for Xbox first and then to the PlayStation, a lot of things, and things didn't look as great. And I feel like that's what a lot of what's happening with like the arcade, where it's like, oh, let's port it from the arcade, and it just kind of gets like, you get like a crappier version.
And I mean, some of those games have even been on 2600 or 5200 for Atari. So it's like, you know, a lot of these things are just like, the games you remember from the arcade that you were spending quarter after quarter on, now you can just own them. And like, that is exciting if you're like a home console owner at the time.
There's a trade-off, though.
Right. Not that any of us are game developers, but like, I imagine that if you're not giving a game the care that it takes to build it from scratch, you lose a lot in translation just sending it over to another console.
Right. So, you know, we can talk about the good games, but I think like we've praised the good games enough. I was thinking the other day, how would I fix the games that I didn't like? Like, you know, we've complained about them, but what would I really do to, like, you know, fix them? And, you know, there are games like Karate Champ, which I don't feel are fixable unless you, like, change them into being a different kind of game. But did anybody have, like, any thoughts about specific games that, like, had a mechanic that they just didn't like and that they wish, like, they, you know, could have been a little tighter or, you know, changed this and it wouldn't have been so bad? My immediate thought goes to, like, Ghosts and Goblins of just, like, you know, if the Red Devils weren't present in that game, I might have enjoyed it just a little more.
See, I think to Ghosts and Goblins, too, but maybe to something different. The Red Devils, I mean, trust me, they get on my nerves, but I kind of like that there's that, like,
well, maybe
really
I just get rid of that
boss.
One specific level.
Yeah, that, Red I know Devils what you're talking just,
like,
about, yeah.
The whole level is Red Devils, like, you know, I think, like, again, that's, like, you know, that's just, like, my immediate thought, but I do think, like, there's plenty of games, like, you know, even if we want to talk about, like, Muscle.
I was going
to
say Muscle.
Yeah, a game that I don't think is good to begin with, but go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say Muscle, like, when I first was reading about Muscle in the manual, I was seeing, like, oh, each character has, like, a special move. Like, that's cool, and they're custom to each of the characters. And so it has, like, a little more personality to it, and that got me excited. And I played it, and it just, it kind of is more than lackluster.
Or less than
lackluster, whichever one's less.
I think even if you didn't want to change that game that much, if you just got rid of, like, that glowing orb that, like, made the other person invincible, if you just, like, got rid of that, like,
that's easy.
It would be an okay game to play, you know?
Or like, just to have the option to turn it off or something. I mean, that's, like, then we're getting into
it's custom. Like turning off Smash Balls, you know? Like, nobody wants those things anyway, so just get rid of them.
I would say Muscle.
If I were to just kind of jump on what you were talking about with, forgot the name of it, Ghosts and Goblins.
Ghosts and Goblins,
I also had something I would change about it, but I think I would change more the power-ups or the weapons that you collect. Like, I would have them be more significant, have some kind of trade-off. Or there's really kind of, there's one that's great that you pretty much want the whole time, which in my opinion is the knife, and then there's one that you just don't want at all. Like none of them are really
rewarding. Imagine like an inventory. You know, like, I feel like that having cool. it, like, you know, it would be hard. It, like, you start with, what do you start? It's like the javelin?
You start with, yeah, like the lance. Or
yeah, yeah, the lance, yeah. And you start with that, and then, like, you, each level kind of, you know, like, there's a secret item that you can find in the level that, like, adds to your inventory, and you can swap.
Right. You want, like, a Metroid sort of thing? Of,
yeah, like, I don't want to go, like, to, you know, yeah. like, I don't want to say, like, you know, and then it's also, like, you can explore the levels yeah. and stuff like that for it. I just meant, like, more, like, you know, kind of like 1942 style, where it's like if you defeat a certain amount of enemies, then you get the POW thing, and it could either like add like mm-hmm. two planes side by side, or add four blasters,
That'd
like
be
something
dope
like
to have
that.
A plane in
be
Ghost
dope
and
to have a plane in Ghosts and Goblins.
Very helpful.
Also, maybe you know, just like a set of armor every now and again, more yeah, than it was right. giving you already. Right. Like yeah. I think that would have helped.
And I think a lot of the power ups just ended up being like inadvertently being obstacles. Because you're like, I don't want to get that, but it's in my way, and it just becomes like another enemy almost. Like, I don't want to get the fireball, but it's right there in my path.
Yeah, or another bottomless pit you gotta jump over.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It could even be like the sacks of money. You know, you get enough sacks of money, and you can get like you can choose your weapon at the end of the level or something. You know?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Any other games that we would fix?
See, I don't have anything that I would just tweak a like one mechanic or two. I want my original idea for Gumshoe. I want that to be a third like a scroller, a brawler where you're actually hunting down the kidnapper for your daughter and not just shooting at yourself to jump because that was my most disappointing game of 1986, I think.
I think okay. that was one that you said you were looking forward to.
Right. That's what's so interesting about yeah. that. And I agree that Gumshoe could have been something entirely different. I don't know, though, like, if I would change that. Like, it didn't work. But at the same time, I do like when we did that episode, we talked about how it took all the mechanics from the previous light gun games. And I like that. Like, yeah. I think that's cool. They could have, you know, yeah, they could have just, you know, got abandoned the light guns and just done whatever, but, like...
It was very charming for what it was. It wasn't a good game.
No.
It was very charming, and it had personality.
Gumshoe's still the only game so far of nostalgia that I have not played.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and
I can't,
play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you've got to get,
soon.
Yeah, you got to get yeah. on that. Because
I'll update you listeners on whatever episode we're
you
on
You are the
when
Zapper's biggest fan.
Like, I am a big Zapper fan.
All right, cool.
I was just going to add one little thing. Just Donkey Kong 3, just like fix the difficulty level for the levels, because I feel like it's just got a little bit weird after like the first cycle.
I agree, and I think yeah. like even just, you know, if you want to stick to that gameplay, like let's say like that you're not going to change it completely and take my amazing idea of just making it where Donkey Kong himself is finally playable. You know, like the natural progression of
but
Donkey Kong is Mario. Donkey Kong, yeah, he's too big. He's the original Ridley. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that here because I already have a whole soapbox on that in Donkey Kong 3. But yeah, Sam, to your point, it's just like the bugs are manageable at first, but then there just comes a point where this game is like a mess.
Yeah,
literal, you know, it's bugs, not actual like gameplay bugs.
Yeah. Actual bugs and stuff. But I don't know. I don't think like. Even fixing that, I just think, like, that's not the mechanic I wanted in Donkey Kong 3, period. You know? Like,
yeah,
I don't,
but
I just
I'm saying
feel like
if they're going to do that, then, like, just make it better.
What Sean was saying about, like, you know, Gumshoe being his big disappointment, I really feel like Donkey Kong 3 for me is, like, my big disappointment. Because, and I knew that going in, so it's not, like, so fair to say that, but it still stings that
hey.
Donkey Kong ends up... It's true. It still bites that Donkey Kong 3 isn't like Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. And, you know, who knows if we'll ever see another Donkey Kong-style game.
It still hits you on the head with a coconut.
Does that happen in the game?
Are you making a euphemism?
He throws coconuts at you, doesn't he?
Who?
Donkey Kong.
Maybe. I honestly don't remember now.
Right,
you're making me doubt it. No. You're making me doubt it. But like, doesn't he get like, it's like
a
beehive, right?
Donkey Kong gets the beehive on his head, but he will also throw coconuts at you.
I never really saw him aggressive. Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Biggest surprise of 1986 right there.
Yeah,
I will say, I don't think I was as hurt by it being a different game. Only because
you didn't like the original.
I don't care for the original anyway,
yeah,
like
I
too
was
much. I'm
page.
Always like, it's okay. Like, I think I... Not growing up with it, I'm just like, yeah, it's Donkey Kong. I've seen it a million times. So
Got
I was
it.
Like happy to see something a little different.
I'll change it up for a second. So we talked about like those two being disappointments, but what's a game You know, it doesn't have to be your favorite one from this, but what's a game that you would like to see another entry in its franchise? Don't think about, like, if it has entries in the future. Just based off of the game that you played here, you'd be like, I'd like to see them do another take on that.
I would like to see Chubby Cherub 2. Where it's actually like a well thought out game and it's not just a palette swap of something else entirely. And
you're kind of going to see that though.
It takes place in hell this time.
In 1987, Kid Icarus comes out and like, okay. It's not the.
Is
not
that
even
Chubby Cherub 2?
I'm just saying that, like, you know, Pit is the star of Kid Icarus,
right.
Which is weird that they also call him Kid Icarus, but like, yeah, he's kind of like a Cupid like character.
Because I just like, you know, in a platformer, flying's cool. Cool. And it's like, it's cool that you get to fly in Kid Icarus, but it's not fun. Like, I don't know how they made it not fun.
Oh, you're talking about Chubby Cherub. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chubby Cherub. And it's not fun in Chubby Cherub, and I don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
But if they can find a way to not mess up and make flying fun again, then I would like to see Chubby Cherub 2.
Chubby Cherub might be like my most forgettable game.
Yeah,
of this year. Like,
whatever.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Like, even when you brought it up, I was like, and I just played it too before this episode. Like, I was just playing like all the games again, and you bringing that up again, I was like, oh yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah. For me,
yeah,
I would say Commando.
Commando, okay, another entry in that.
Yeah, because it's just, I mean, it feels pretty simple. You know, I think that they could really. Take it. I would like to see what else they can add to it.
Yeah, you know? I kind of think of that as like, and you know, I would love to hear your ideas too, but like, you know, Contra kind of does like that style, but with 2D platforming, like,
mm-hmm.
side. And with Commando's specific like way of kind of going up horizontally throughout the screen, it'd be interesting to see them tackle like more obstacles than just like the cars and the guys who throw the grenades and stuff like that. Like, you could add so much more in a sequel. So
maybe,
I think that
maybe
would be
give
cool.
you a car.
It'll give you a car.
Have
is
a driving
cool idea.
Level.
That could happen.
Know. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
And it could be like Mach Rider style.
Yeah. Just make it Mach Rider.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just probably
Mando
all these games
problem solved. Yeah.
I think honestly, if you did make most of these games, if you kept like their branding and stuff, but just put it in the Mach Rider universe, it could work.
Yeah. I still think that what we talked about in the Mach Rider episode with F-Zero and Mach Rider being alternate futures of one prequel game where, like, an F-Zero is the pristine good future and Mach Rider is post-apocalyptic future.
Someone's got to write
amazing.
An article on
I think
that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never played any F-Zero game is where the issue
okay.
of my theory comes
it's
in.
Hard,
so.
So there's one notable game that we did not play this year because it did not come to North America, but I think is worth talking about. And does anyone know what that game is?
No.
Spoop.
Is it Super Mario Bros. 2?
Super Mario Bros. 2.
Oh.
Came out in Japan in 1986.
Oh, the now Our Lost Levels.
Our
right?
Lost
yeah,
Levels.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Not Doki
not,
Doki Panic.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, like, we'll save that for when it happens.
Okay.
But Doki Doki Panic between me and Joe is like a
right.
challenge.
We have a duel,
yeah.
if you will.
But
we'll explain
yeah.
that in 2 years when we get to the
right,
Super
right.
Brothers 2
right.
episode.
In Super Mario Brothers 2, though, I mean, like, it's basically Super Mario Brothers again. Has anybody ever played this?
Yeah, I mean, like, I had Super Mario All-Stars, so I, like, played around with it, but I never spent too much time in Lost Levels.
Yeah, they added like poison mushrooms, which would actually kill you.
Yeah.
And they,
okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think it's funny because isn't that just a Goomba? Like,
right.
I guess you can't jump on the poison mushrooms.
I think it was like, you know, maybe like the first time you get it, you're like, oh, cool, new
yeah,
mushroom.
Right.
And then you're like, wait, that's kind of screwed up,
yeah,
Nintendo.
Like,
what's up
with probably
that?
Trying to
they're
teach
like,
you, like,
gotcha.
Some mushrooms are poisonous. Don't go out eating mushrooms.
That is actually very responsible
yes.
of them.
And it's just weird that if you think about it now, we've had. You know, Super Mario Brothers versus Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2, and they're all just essentially the same exact story. You know, like, literally, Peach has been captured, or Peach, whatever they called
yeah.
it at the time, Princess Toadstool.
But don't we get that story for another, like, 30 years?
Yeah, we continue to get that story,
Mario,
but I mean, like, this is, like, a legit retelling,
yeah, right.
So I just wonder, like, you know, for the Mario, like, the people who developed the canon and timeline for that, like, how do they tackle a situation like that?
It all
like
takes
that?
Place at the same time. You know,
oh, in three different
when,
dimensions.
The
well,
three alternate
Mario,
futures of the F-Zero.
You know how Mario has different lives, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is what happens to some of the other lives.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should write a Super Mario Brothers movie. They're still making one of those, apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With dinosaurs?
No. Well, actually, I can't say that this one won't have, probably will have Yoshi.
Yeah. And there's also
Mario, right?
Yeah, Detective Mario. No, Detective Pikachu's happening, though, but we can't really talk about that because we have a long way to go before 1986.
We've still got our non-disclosure agreement with Nintendo.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Super Mario Bros. 2. it just feels weird that Nintendo would do that, and I'm kind of glad. This is like maybe not okay to say, but I'm kind of glad that Nintendo like said, hold off on that. Like, you know, we'll get our own version of Super Mario Bros. 2 just because I think that, like, re-releasing that. I mean, like, the argument for Nintendo at the time, for the uninformed, is that they were saying, Nintendo of America said, no, don't do Super Mario Bros. 2. It's, you know, it's too hard. But that's, I don't really think that that's the argument in favor of it. And yes, it is. It's a lot harder and challenging. But I think, like,
it's
really,
too similar.
Don't do it because it's so similar and you're saturating the market, like, with,
like, it just America,
You're kind of, like, ruining Mario's brand a little bit by doing that, you know? I wonder how that was received in Japan. They're probably thrilled, more Super Mario Brothers levels.
Yeah. But right.
I don't think that that's exciting. I think, like, the way Super Mario Brothers USA, or Super Mario Brothers 2, as we call it, the way that that was done was, like, a more interesting spin than this.
Yeah, I agree. I think if it came and was like, here's the extra levels pack or whatever, the extra levels game.
You're thinking about DLC in 1986.
You know what I mean. I'm talking about it's just like another game, but it's not like,
Super
I know they
Mario
didn't do
Brothers
this either.
Season pass.
But if it's not the sequel, if it's like, oh, we made this game, but we're still making like another full game, like another fully new game. Then I'd be like, oh, cool, more
they
levels.
Do that there, and one more thing at their E3 1986.
Right.
They're like, oh, and one more thing, and they show the Super Mario Brothers USA. Okay.
Nintendo is Bethesda. All right.
Yep. Anything else regarding 1986? Any feelings?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it was a fun time to be alive, you know?
1986
nope,
in general
was
a fun time for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Negative 3 years old. Negative four years old.
Wow, you don't even know your negative
like
years.
Yeah, sorry, man. Sorry.
No, that's okay. 1986, Sam, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, wasn't around either. I just, like, all I got about 1986 is this podcast. It's the first I've ever heard of 1986.
Yeah, I assumed that the Earth started in the year 2001. So
when you were born?
No, when Shrek came out.
Oh yeah,
is
of
that
course.
Wait? Is that when it came out? I don't know.
Shrek is actually, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't want to get too off topic here, but like Shrek was like a huge leap in like
it
just
was
animation technology.
It's, like, it holds up. The animation
look at the
holds
water
up.
In Shrek 1. Like just look at the water and like the animation,
the hair rendering.
Yeah,
you know?
Just really good stuff.
And Shrek really is like a father figure for all of us. I think.
Like, every single person.
You look at the Donkey Kong TV show.
Yeah.
And then you look at Shrek. Yeah. It's like two different worlds.
Donkey Kong TV show is like something I never thought we were going to have to bring up again. That's the Saturday Supercade, for those of you that don't know, and we're not going to talk about that again.
But was, hold on, we need for 1 second.
Yeah.
Was that airing in 1986?
That was airing, yeah. That
wow.
was, I mean, no. It had probably already aired. It was airing more likely in like 83, 84, you know, like when it was in the arcade. But
wait,
like,
what? The
Donkey Kong. Yeah, the Donkey
Kong. I'm talking about the CG one.
Oh, you're talking about
Donkey Kong CG movie?
Yeah, no, not CG movie. He's talking about the Donkey Kong CG show.
Yeah.
It was like in the mid, late 90s, early 2000s, where Donkey Kong's butt is gigantic.
Yeah.
I did not see this.
It's probably for the best.
I've seen it.
Is it on WB?
I don't know. I just saw it because people have been talking about it on YouTube recently.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that, though, because that's like Super Nintendo N64 era, and that's like sacrilege around here. We can't really talk about anything outside of NES. But I was going to say, you know what, guys? I'm tired of 1986. I'm full of 1986. I want something new. I want 1987.
Hopefully you don't get full of that, because that's a lot longer in video game time.
Yeah, I know. I filled up pretty quickly on 86, but 87 is coming around the corner, and I'd love for us to just kind of talk about, you know, maybe we each say a game or two that we're looking forward to playing in 1987. Sean, give me one game first.
Okay. I'm going to be a basic person right now and say...
Be basic.
Yeah, Legend of Zelda. That's what I'm looking forward to playing.
Why are you looking forward to Legend of Zelda? Have you heard good things about that game?
I've actually never heard of it. I just like the name of the... I like the sound of the name, you know? Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. It has a flow.
F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife, right?
Okay. No, for real. Let's hear it.
Well, why do I want to play it?
Yeah,
because, like, it's still a game that I have not played all the way through. It's something that, while I don't have the same connection to as someone like Mike may have, growing up with the N64, I was more of a PlayStation person. I still am very interested in its history, and I love... I've watched a lot of videos about the design that went into it. And how that evolved over the years. So I'm looking forward to seeing a baby picture of Zelda as it is now.
If you had to put into, like, words maybe or a number, you know, like, how much do you know about Legend of Zelda 1?
5.
Great.
You said it, a number.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, maybe percentage or, like, out of 10.
He knows 5 Legend of Zelda.
He knows 5.
I know quite a bit. I mean, I'm not... I know, like, the general layout and that there are secrets with bombs and...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I love that you know about them, but you don't necessarily know, like, what to do or where they are. Like, that's perfect, because I really would love at least, like, one or two of us to be able to play this game.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to speed
for the very first time during the podcast, because unfortunately I can't do that. Like, I've already played it, so it's in my memory.
I'll be discovering things, but I'll also probably be using some strategy guides.
Great. Sam, what do you got?
Okay, so I have a secret that I don't think I've told you guys before.
Oh, I love it.
Barring like a couple minutes of the original Metroid that I played a little while ago, I've never played a Metroidvania game before.
Wow!
Like any Metroidvania,
the entire
game.
Genre,
the entire genre. Yeah, I don't think I have.
Okay.
And so I'm excited for Castlevania.
There is an argument that Super Mario World. Is a Metroidvania.
Never played that game.
That is not a good argument.
It's very funny. I don't hold any
I've never played
to it
Super
as well.
Mario World either.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're still staying in that. Wow, that's so strange. Not even Super Mario World. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, go back. Castlevania. Let's hear about it. Tell me about why you're excited.
Because, you know, people say Metroidvania. That's the Vania part, and it comes first before Metroid. So that's the first one that I'm going to be playing.
I think it's... No, I don't want to say it's... I mean, like, a Metroidvania is, like, you know, first off, a lot of people... There's a hot contention over, like, what is and what isn't. But I think, like, Castlevania 1 is not a Metroidvania.
Oh, really? I've heard 2 is, like, the one.
Well, I'd say for me, it's, like, Metroidvania... The Castlevania side of Metroidvania starts at, like, Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You
know,
I think, like, you want to play Metroid.
Yeah. I think you're looking forward to playing Metroid. But I think you might be looking forward to playing Castlevania, though, too, if that idea interests you.
No, yeah, I never played any Castlevania games because, you know, them being Vanias.
Castlevania.
Yeah.
They're a huge, that's a huge franchise, too. Like, there's so many games across so many different systems. That's a Konami joint, so they've, like, completely saturated
it.
That
excited
market.
For that, and I'm excited for giving Metroid an honest try because I just played, like, a couple minutes of it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to play this right now.
But, all
right,
so you kind of snuck in 2 games there. I'll allow it. Joe, 1 game.
Nope. I'm going to sneak in several games.
No. I'm going to go around again.
Oh, okay. We're going to go around again? Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Because I do have, I was just going to say, I do have a lot of games.
I have a list, too. I know.
And I was just going to list them out because I knew we didn't want to spend too much time on this. But aside from, like, the classics that they've mentioned and a couple other classics, which I'll mention afterwards, one that I just didn't know much about, which I kind of looked into, was Solomon's Key.
Okay.
And, I actually started playing it a little bit. I like it.
You go jumping ahead.
I jumped ahead. I've been
How
playing
can
a lot
you keep
of...
your mind in 86 when you're playing games from 87?
I started trying to play games I thought would take me a long time.
Okay.
I started
That's
playing
a good
Legend
idea.
Of Zelda as
you
well.
You probably get started on, like, Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior.
Right. Yeah, a couple years in advance. But yeah, Solomon's Key was just, like, a cool-looking puzzle game, and I feel like we didn't get one that, I don't know, that seemed so much like a little adventure and a little, like, each level seemed very... A lot of care, it looks like, went into it. I only played for, like, a minute. But I don't know. I'm excited to kind of give that a deeper dive and see what it's all about.
Yeah, I've been hearing you hype that up for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, we listened to the music. And even the music was kind of like, wow, listen to that. So I think, you know, I'm interested in that. I didn't put it on my list. But I'm definitely, like, for me, puzzle games, as long as there's a unique spin, I'm usually, like, able to, like, hold a little longer than most people would, even if they don't necessarily like the game. Like, for me, there's something satisfying about mastering a puzzle.
Right.
You know, or mastering, like, a concept, you know, because, like, in a game like Commando, you know, there's a lot of random things that are happening and, like, so many different ways to tackle a situation. In a puzzle game, you really, like, get a chance to just sit down and be strategic about it.
What it seems like with Solomon's Key is that it seems like it's just going to be, like, there's one major mechanic to it that is different than what you're used to, and you have to really kind of learn your way around that mechanic, and that's what I find really cool.
Cool. All right, I am going to throw out a very weird one because I don't want to take up any of the, you know, the games that everybody already knows about. And I'm going to say Lunar Pool.
Lunar Pool?
Is that like billiards?
Is that billiards on the moon?
It's like it's like a mix between billiards and mini golf.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I'm
interested in how that plays on an NES.
Yes, that's the thing, is that, like, I think, like, in 1987, this is going to hold, like, a lot of people's attention. It's like, wow, what a weird crossover. Mm-hmm. But this is the game that you see on, like, every mobile phone now, you know? Like mini golf, essentially, where it's like, you know, you just drag your point and it shoots really far and, you know, you got to do that. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what this is. I don't understand, really, the billiards element of it yet, but I think that could be cool. But, you know, it's essentially, like, exactly that, like, top-down miniature golf style where you just kind of, like, pick your direction and you're hitting.
It sounds interesting to me. I don't even know what the mobile games are for, or, like, the current mobile games.
You know, I looked at some screenshots, and I guess I got to say, like, the only thing I'm worried about is the quality of the game based on, like, you know, how the UI looks and everything. Like, who can say this is definitely a third-party game? I didn't remember who the publisher was or the developer, but, you know, I'm willing to give it a try. I think it's something different and unique enough in the NES library.
Is that late in the year?
It is late in the year, yes. I think it's around November, December. Gotcha. Sean, another game.
I kind of want to see what Spy Hunter was all about.
Yeah, Spy Hunter's on my list. Yeah, I love that.
Because I remember buying the game on a whim when the remake happened for PS2, and it came with a music video for, like, a new metal band that was made for the game. And I want to see just how radical this game can be. Like, is it going to be that hardcore? I can't imagine it being that cool because of, you know, like, nothing can be as cool as Mach Rider, but
I feel like I remember Spy Hunter 2, though, from, like, the arcade. Like, I feel like it was an arcade game.
Oh, I think, it definitely was.
Yeah.
I haven't played the arcade game, but I think, I'm going to play that game a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you won't be disappointed thinking, like, Mach Rider, Spy Hunter.
Yeah.
From what I
do
remember.
I do like vehicle action games, vehicle combat.
Cool. We got a bunch of those coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Sam, you snuck in, too. I'll give you a third if you got any.
Yeah. My third is also Zelda that, you know, Sean mentioned before. But
yeah. Have you played?
I've never played the original
before.
So I've seen a couple people talk about it, but in more general terms than, like, you know, it's not like I haven't seen, like, playthroughs of it or anything.
Okay.
So I know that there are some parts where you might get stuck because there's just a random bush that you need to light on fire or something like that. But I'm really excited to play that one.
Joe, give me another game.
All right. So I won't mention my two that they already mentioned, which were Castlevania and Zelda.
You won't mention
them. I won't mention them. Not mention them right now. I won't talk about them. I won't take credit for this.
I won't spend more than five seconds talking about them.
Yeah, exactly. Before. That's what I mean by mention. So those are on there, but also Metroid. I've never played any Metroid game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that there's a lot of a lot of history and
lore.
Lore behind it. Yeah. So I'm really interested just to kind of jump on that bandwagon and see what it's all about.
Have you seen the movie Alien?
I actually have not
seen
Alien.
Oh, my God,
Alien.
Joe, come on.
I know.
I haven't either. We should watch it.
Yeah. We should actually do, like, a group watch of Alien and
while
then follow
playing.
That. Yeah, play Metroid. No, it has to be after.
It has to be after.
Alien requires full attention.
Yeah.
Okay, Alien is such a good movie.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I have to go out there and say that. I'm excited. Surprised. Guys, you think about this just, you know, before I give my final pick. Like, think about what we're talking about for 87. So far, we're talking about Legend of Zelda, Metroid, Castlevania, and my pick, Mega Man. Okay.
Oh,
wait, really?
Yeah.
Mega Man.
Is it late in 87?
It is late in 87. I think it's either October or November of 87. Mega Man comes to the NES, and that's huge.
I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah.
Never played any Mega Man.
It's going to kill me, because like I was dreading Ghosts and Goblins, and I'm like, I've played Mega Man, and I just don't want to feel that pain again.
You think Mega Man is worse than Ghosts and Goblins?
I just find that game really hard, and I don't know what it is about it.
I will say that Mega Man 1... is hard.
But we played that, you and I, Mike, right?
But we beat Mega Man 2. We
didn't. That's right. Okay, I couldn't
Mega
remember
Mega Man 1
we
doesn't
played.
Really give you health.
Gotcha.
You know, like would that, you, yeah. It's like it runs into that Ghost and Goblins problem of like, hey, once you're taking hits, you're done.
Do you get a save point like in Ghost and Goblins or not?
No. But
then
you
that's
do get
be a killer.
I think you get a password
yeah,
screen.
You get a password.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So you got that going for you. But yeah, I think you know, Joe, thank you for bringing up that we played it, because that was like 2 years ago now, and I'm like really excited to get back into, you know,
I remember
back
having
into Mega
time,
Man.
But I think I more remember Mega Man 2 now, so I'm
interested. Yeah, okay.
And,
yeah.
I definitely had Mega Man 1 when I was a kid. But...
Mega Man 1, the thing is it's just like, you know, like, it's another game that's like, I want to beat this game just like how I said I want to beat Ghosts and Goblins, just because, like, it has this reputation behind it. But Mega Man, not so much for being hard, but just for being, like, the first game in this legacy line of a franchise, and Mega Man 11 is coming out soon this year, so who knows what, you know, like, maybe I'll play Mega Man 1 followed by Mega Man 11. I won't be able to play all of them.
And then Mega Man X13.
I think we're only up to X9 if it would ever come out, but there you go, because I think we got all the way up to X8, but a lot of those games aren't good. So I'm not an expert. Don't yell at me. I also deserve a quick shout out to Slalom. Just have to throw that out there because that is Rare. Yes, the Banjo-Kazooie people, the GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, Sea of Thieves. Oh, if you want to think of them like that, though, it's definitely not those people. Like, they've been so far removed now from.
So Rare is now called Slalom.
No. Slalom is the game.
Okay.
In a couple weeks.
Like skiing, you know, that we're going to be playing in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a big Yeti that comes and eats you? Like in
or
no,
moose?
But I love that game. I do love that game.
What is that game?
The free ski game on Windows 95.
Oh, I don't know if I played that. Alien, no Windows 95. No.
You never had Windows
95? I had Windows 95,
okay,
I never
say,
played
no
free ski.
No Windows 95. Interesting. Sam, do you have a thought?
No.
Cool.
I was going to say maybe a moose in that game.
Okay. I'm just interested to see what Rare can do, because this is their first time. Like, they're going to be the first Western developer to make a game for the NES. So
that
it'll be the
exciting.
First time. Yeah, it's the first time we get, I believe, you know, like all the other ones were either like very established in the market or at least had ties to Nintendo, and that's how they were able to get on, you know, the system. But Rare went, like, out of their way to be like, we want a piece of this pie.
Have you ever seen what it looks like?
I did see one screenshot, and it looks interesting.
It's got an interesting
graphical viewpoint to
it.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, it feels kind of good to play.
And this is, like, the Winter Olympics are coming up soon in Nintendo's time period, 1987 kind of thing. So it's, like, they're probably just gearing up for that. You know, being like, oh, let's just get a bunch of winter sports games out there. Yeah, so they
guys
probably
really are looking forward to this.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, we'll see. It's not like
I remember enjoying it.
Okay, you remember even playing it now? All of a sudden, look at that.
I remember playing it.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. Great.
Did I not remember playing it?
No. I don't know. I thought at first
you were
like,
a
I'm
liar, Joe.
I thought he said he was looking forward to it, and now
I am looking forward to it.
All right. I get it now. Okay. So that's 87 in a nutshell. Maybe we can do our best of 86. And we're back with the best of the worst. That's right. We're going to start off the best of 86 with actually what we think is the worst game of 1986. Usually I ask you guys to kick it off, but I'll kick this one off. And keep in mind that you're allowed to have the same answer. We are trying to really determine here the worst game of 1986. And I'm going to say that it was, without doubt, the last game we played, Karate Champ.
I would say that is very that was one of my two I was going to go between. That was probably the worst mechanical game.
I actually just wasn't sure if like my game was just freaking out. Like,
yeah.
Like when Joe talked about that backwards kick thing, I was dying because I was like, so that's actually supposed to happen. Like they.
Wait, how are you supposed to kick him though?
No, but like your character would just turn backwards and then start kicking, and it's like now I'm not even facing the guy.
We couldn't figure out
right,
how.
No, I know. I played it too. Right. I'm wondering, like, what are you supposed to do that? With. Like, what is that?
That's like a
what I mentioned on the episode. What I mentioned on the episode was that the demo, like when you sit on the screen for too long, a demo starts, and even the guy in the demo kicks backwards.
The guy.
Like, the character. Yeah, they thought I meant
that.
Like a guy
that
was
in the demo too.
But
like,
even the like character in the demo,
even
the character in the demo kicks backwards. Like so, even just within the game, it's just that's just the way it works. You just don't kick in the right direction.
It's just amazing this thing even shipped at all. Like I think about it, I lose sleep over the fact that Nintendo like thought like great. Put it out there. Let the world experience Karate Champ. I never want to experience Karate Champ again. There are bad games in 1986. We talked about them. But I really think that, like, this just stands out to me as, like, man, I just paid $30 for this. Like, $1986. Like, that's like $50, $60 if you think about it. So, geez, I can't believe they would do that. Sean, what's your pick?
So, now that that has been taken care of, I can just say the one. And that would be Tag Team Wrestling, which is a game in which it was programmed without limitations on the AI. Like, because the game is itself, and the game can detect your inputs, it knows exactly what to do to counter those. And
they never
thought, like, huh, maybe we should make it playable. And, like, maybe they should be able to beat the CPU once in a while. But no, it's just, like, the strong bads will just destroy you every single time.
But if you beat them 25 times, you'll become the Tag Team Wrestling Champion.
It's just amazing that that was a concept for them.
And that's not like a Miu under the truck kind of thing. Yeah. You know, like that's real. I'm not even joking.
I wonder how many people... like organically discovered that. How many people?
Right.
How many people beat
I
it 25
bet
times?
No one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for that one guy who will email us.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Sam.
My pick was also Tag Team Wrestling.
Okay.
It's just I don't know. It's there. We played two wrestling games back to back, and it was, I think, considerably worse than the other one, which was also bad.
Muscle, right?
You know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
What
though,
order did you play them in?
I think I did tag team first.
Yes,
I did tag team first as well. And you know what's funny about that? It's with Tag Team Wrestling and Muscle being able to play them back to back actually helped Muscle.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
it did because
it
I was like,
sure
oh,
did.
It's playable.
Yeah, finally, my inputs are doing something.
It's only kind of BS that they get this special ball thrown at them that makes them better.
Yeah, and they're like, but like, why are they chibi figures in Muscle? Like,
I don't care about that, you know.
Sorry, we're here to talk about Tag Team Wrestling.
Yeah,
like, sucks.
It sucks.
Okay. Joe,
my pick was Tag Team Wrestling. And you guys kind of said it all. I also just thought the controls were really weird. There was that weird like select your attack function that just didn't really make any sense in the gameplay.
Oh my gosh,
like to me. But yeah, it did come to me between Tag Team Wrestling, Muscle, and Karate Champ. So all the three we're mentioning, Tag Team Wrestling 1 is much worse than
great. All right, well, I'm glad it's all the games that we're all talking about. So Tag Team Wrestling, obviously, I mean, it would be on my list too. So we are officially crowning Tag Team Wrestling the worst game of 1986. Everybody happy?
I'm pretty happy with that.
I would love to just
there are a
play
lot of runners
game
up,
over
though.
Music. But, oh, yeah, there yes, are runners yes. up for sure. I mean, we didn't even talk about half of them. But
Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
Donkey Kong Jr. Math being one of them, no doubt. But you know what? It's kind of funny that Donkey Kong Jr. Math, for all we didn't like about it, didn't show up in this conversation at all. Like,
I just made sure that it – I had to make sure that it did, though. Because
you had to drop it in
a bad
there.
Game.
Yeah. But it's man, it's just weird to think about now that I'm like, Donkey Kong Jr. Math at least did something. Like, Karate Champ did nothing for me. Like, did absolutely
Donkey
nothing.
Donkey Kong Jr. Math was in debug mode. That whole game was just in debug mode. Like,
I still had fun in two-player. I don't want to get back into it. I had fun in two-player. I don't disagree. It's a bad game overall. Had fun in two-player.
And so with that, we're going to do our favorite track of 1986, our favorite music track from a game that came out in 1986. And I think that the winner of this one will play later in the episode as we're tallying up the votes for Best of 86. So this is fun. We're, you know, there's something on the line maybe. So everybody can kind of like make a case. But Sean, what's your favorite track of 1986?
I'm just going to say the Mach Rider theme.
The Mach Rider theme. Theme A or theme B?
I'd say theme A.
Theme A.
Theme A.
It's very proper. Yes.
It's got dynamicism. It's got adventurousness. It's got the timbre of an 80s rock ballad. It doesn't have any of those things, but it's a catchy jingle. I like it. That's all I have to say about
Sam?
It.
I was also Mach Rider. It's just, it's really catchy. I can hear it right now. You know?
Joe, I don't want to do this to you, but I
please go.
I picked
I'm
the
glad.
Mach Rider theme.
Oh, you did?
So, yeah. So I think, like, you know, I just need to let
matter.
You know what's on the
okay.
line here.
So mine
wait,
doesn't
really... I didn't tell you theme A or theme
no,
B.
No, I know. I just wanted to tell oh, yeah, sorry. It's, theme A or theme B?
It's theme A.
Okay, good. It's theme A for me as well. The theme B is haunting.
Oh, like, theme B is sick, but I think only because you're so used to theme A.
I want everybody to talk about the Mach Rider theme for a second, though, Joe, before we go to your
that's
pick.
Fine,
but
yeah.
I just needed you to know what's on the line because you really have to sell us on your track now.
But it doesn't matter, right? I'm
outvoted. No. I'm saying, like, I could come around if
oh,
you
okay.
want to convince
right, I'll
me.
Try,
this isn't like the essential
okay.
games.
Okay.
Like, I can be convinced
fair.
Of anything.
Okay.
You know, like,
let's see.
You could
Flat
tell
Earth.
Me that Mario's squeaky shoes in Donkey Kong is the favorite track. You know, like, just like...
Well, you're in for a surprise. No.
Okay, Sam, finish your thoughts with Mach Rider.
Yeah, it just sounds cool. It's a cool song.
It's a song
cool song
stuck with me for
cool
for days too. Like I was just like in my head, I'd just be like da 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 da. Like it's.
I was doing that walking down the street, like
yeah.
at people.
Walking down the street, shooting
people,
barking at them.
Yeah,
da 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 da.
Walking down the street, shooting people on my motorcycle.
We do not want to talk about that part.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
It didn't happen, right?
Well,
like,
no, I don't have a motorcycle.
Good. Okay. Wait, you didn't deny.
Joe, what's your?
Hey, Joe, what's your song?
My song is actually the Balloon Trip song.
A great.
You know
song.
What I'm talking
really
about?
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
everything
really
else
balloon
in Balloon
Fight,
fight is kind of lukewarm or not good for me.
Well, there's
as
that
far as the music.
Frightening sound
yeah, right.
in the start of a balloon right. fight match in the like actual thing where it's like really high pitched screeches at each other, like back and forth. The bird.
And I will say I do think the Mach Rider's theme is good, but I think that just a completely random thought here, but I think that the Balloon Trip fight just happens to be really good tallying music.
I it's think very, also the like, Balloon Trip music feels more Nintendo. I'll say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, true.
You know? Like they're both in-house Nintendo designed, but like there's just something about the Balloon Trip thing that makes me feel very like
yeah.
fun, like you know I'm about to go somewhere, do something, you know, do, you know, like
yeah,
it's very whimsical, but I still think that like Mach Rider's theme just like
puts, more kick-ass.
It makes you want to play the game
more kick-ass. But do you think that it is better
yes.
when you're tallying a number?
I don't
it's better
care.
To hear the Mach
this isn't
Rider
the best,
theme.
This isn't the best tallying song. The best
but we're using it for the
tally.
We
will
tallying
use
it
for the tallying, but right. this is not what we're voting.
It was. It was just a question. I wasn't.
Shut up,
I was just
Joe.
A question.
Just
yeah.
shut up.
Sean doesn't like to lose.
I love the idea that Joe had Mach Rider, but then when I heard, when I explained like how this track will be used in the episode, he was like, hey, "What's a good tallying song?"
No, Balloon Trip was my top one, and Mach Rider wasn't in the running. Actually, I do like it, but
you just reminded me for some reason when you said Balloon Trip and then corrected yourself with Balloon Fight, it was like when Sean said Balloon Shot, like was the
yes.
name of the game.
Did I say Balloon Shot?
Yeah, you said Balloon Shot at one point. It was in the bloopers, actually.
Yeah.
It's a little known fact, if you go to the end of any Nostalgia episode, for the most part, you'll hear like
yeah,
a bunch of stuff. So,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's actually Balloon Boy.
Balloon Boy.
Okay. No. Balloon Kid, though, came out for Game Boy, but we
no, I'm
about
talking
that.
About the phenomenon from the early 2000s.
Speaking of phenomenons... No, this is not. This isn't gonna work. But like, we're gonna start doing our best of 1986.
We'll be right back.
We're doing our top five games. Each person's going to give five games. We're going to start from five. Five is worth 1 point. Fourth place is worth 2 points. Third place? Yeah, that's right. 3 points, baby. And it goes up and up from there. And then we tally them up and we do our top five games of 1986. For those of you that need a refresher on the 1985 games, the top five games of 1985 were Excitebike in number five, Kung Fu in number four, Duck Hunt in number three, Golf in number two.
The joy on your face when you said golf.
It's just, by 1 point, Golf beat Duck Hunt, I should point out. And number one was a little game called Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers.
And I hate doing that thing where I'm like, you know, a little thing called, like, you might have never heard of it. Like, I hate doing that, and I'm sad that I did that just now because Super Mario Brothers is huge. It's a great game.
Well,
keep talking about it all the time.
Recorded.
So, let's go around. Every time we'll do it, like, different order. So, Sean, please start with your number five game of 1986.
All right. Well, I think this year was slim pickings. I think that if we had any larger of a list, I would just be throwing bad games onto our best, like, 10 best.
Wow.
Or something like that, for me at least. So I had one honorable mention, and that was Mario Brothers. And my number five is Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
I do. I still like playing Donkey Kong. I prefer to play it on an arcade cabinet, but this is pretty much the best home console version that you could get at this point, and it's a very good game. So that's my number five.
Great, Joe. What is your number five?
My number five is actually Commando.
I think
I liked it. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I liked it a little more than the room liked it. I think
yeah, I think that was the general idea.
Yeah, and it wasn't a great or like innovative game, but it was just I don't know, it was just fun. It was like a fun kind of run and gun experience, and definitely could have benefited from like longer range guns or like some kind of strafing. But yeah, it was a fun game. Not much more to it than that. I just enjoyed it.
Okay, that's really all you need for a number five place. Sam, what is your number five?
My number five is Ghosts and Goblins.
Ghosts and Goblins.
I think that it works mechanically. You know, I think that it's got cool art. There's a lot of parts of it that I really like. But it's too hard to be higher up in my book. It's a little bit too frustrating to play to really be higher. I feel like it's the kind of game where if I had it in back then, you know, then I would really invest time into getting better at it, but I don't think I would ever beat it.
Gotcha. And my number five is also Ghosts and Goblins. I throw that in at number five because I think it definitely deserves a spot on this list. But for me, not so much what Sam was saying about the difficulty, but I think, like, I found myself not going back to it as much as I thought I was going to. Like, we talked about in the episode how, like, this game has a lot of charm and personality and, like, definitely, like, you know, takes a lot of steps in the right direction. But I think, like, whether that was because of the difficulty or because I got caught up in other games, for me, Ghosts and Goblins wasn't something I was really, like, itching to get back to once we were done with it here on the show. So that's why it stays at number five for me. Joe, number four.
Number four for me, Mach Rider.
Mach Rider.
Mach Rider. And
which you are.
Which I am Mach
Joe
Rider.
Joe stands by the fact that he is
yes,
Mach Rider.
And I'm unbiased. I didn't Mach give Rider. It number one.
And
yes,
you are all Mach Rider.
Individually, in my own canon, I am Mach Rider, just like you are Mach Rider in your canon, is the way that works.
We all live in our own timeline.
Yes.
That's true.
Which is all split off from F-Zero.
Quantum Suicide, yeah.
anyway, Mach Rider, I think, felt ahead of its time. It's hard to... It was hard before that to imagine a game giving you this kind of like excitement and like feeling like you're riding a bike, riding a motorcycle. I think it stays a little lower on the list because its creation mode felt so pointless and like unsatisfying to actually
sure.
play through your creation. Otherwise, it might have been a little higher, but it was
cool.
A fun game.
Sam, you're number four.
My number four is Mario Bros. Mario Bros.
Yeah. Thank you for finally clarifying. I wasn't sure what you were talking about for
yeah.
a minute.
Mario Bros. I think that when we played this game two-player, it was one of the most fun games that I've played on the NES, I think. I think something about playing this game with another person just makes it incredible. As far as one-player goes, I don't have as good of a time, which is why it's not higher. But yeah.
I wrote a whole article, a whole like little excerpt on the Mario Brothers page for our website, mm-hmm. where like I just talked about how Mario Brothers never clicked with me, like in my 25 years of playing games. Like, it never really connected with me throughout, but playing two-player, like, made me even appreciate the single-player more. Like, I started to realize, like, hey, like, this whole game has, like, a neat concept that I haven't really thought about in terms of gameplay. So yeah. I definitely think that, like, us playing together definitely helped my opinion of Mario Brothers. Okay, so I'll go with my number four game, which is Donkey Kong. I know that some people might have expected this higher from me. I always praise Donkey Kong, but I think this is about where it comfortably sits on the list for me. I don't think it's really like a top-tier game. I just think it's so much fun. You know, if there was more content or if there was like a different thing from the arcade version, like if it wasn't just like a straight port, heck, if it was even just a straight port. Unfortunately, it only is three of the four levels. But like for me, this game still works on the NES, and it still does all the things that the arcade version did right. It does them again. It's just, it's missing that level, so I couldn't put it up higher, but it also didn't offer like anything extremely different. So I was like, at the end of the day, this is where it falls for me. I really like that game in general.
An imperfect version of a very good game.
Exactly. So number four for me. Sean, what's your number four?
My number four is Ghosts and Goblins. Even though I was very scared of this game, I can still see the value in it.
Yeah, it was a horror game.
I am afraid of ghosts. But, I mean, the thing about Ghosts and Goblins, though, aside from the difficulty, which we'll never shut up about, is that it was the closest thing that I could find to a game offering, like, an adventure. Like, it felt more cohesive than a lot of the NES games we've been playing, like, especially because it shows you that mini map, like, you can actually see where you are in this world. Combined with the backgrounds and all of the thematic elements of it, that's what puts it on my top five.
You mentioned that backgrounds thing, and I just remember how, like, we found out that in the very first level, in the back, you can see the castle. Yeah. And I just thought that was so cool. Like, just, like, a thing that they had taken the time to put in there and, like, these early kind of, like, world-building and video games things. Like, that's awesome.
Right.
And that's part of the reason why I say, like, cohesive. It just feels like it's all one thing instead of, like, oh, this is this board or this is this level. Like, it's an adventure.
I hear you.
All right, Sam, what is your number three of 1986?
For number three, 1986, I have Balloon Fight.
Okay.
I think this is a great game. It's not my favorite game, but I think that it's, like, solid. It's such a good, solid, solid game, but it's just not my favorite kind of game to play. If I liked this game more, it'd be way higher up. Because I can recognize... I feel bad because I can recognize this is a really solid, well-made game, but it's just not one that I'm crazy about.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you have to be into the game itself. I'm kind of glad that you can put it that high up just appreciating it.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's cool. Joe, number three.
My number three is Ghosts and Goblins.
Hey, wow. Pretty surprising for me, if you don't mind me saying. I really thought that might have been close to your number one.
Close to my number one. I will say, I won't say what my number two is, but I will say they went back and forth a lot.
Okay.
That's helpful. And I ended putting Ghosts and Goblins number three. So Ghosts and Goblins, I thought, was really difficult and could even be frustrating, but never in a way that felt cheap, which I know we talked about, I think, before we even played it. I think you told us that. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like that was true. It felt like I could learn. And it rewards – it feels rewarding to progress because of how much you had to, like – how much work you had to put into trying to actually get there.
And there are people who have beaten that game both times. You know, like, there's people out there. So clearly the game isn't cheap. But, I mean, like, they definitely spent a lot more time than anybody else learning how to do that stuff. But I think that is rewarding, that it's not just, like, something like – a game we're going to be playing much later down the line, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, where, like, that water level is just notoriously hard because it just wasn't designed properly.
And it's just a water level.
Yeah, and it's a water level, too, so that doesn't help. But, like, I like that Ghosts and Goblins, really, for the most part, I mean, I have my complaint about the Red Devils and stuff like that, but for the most part, like, nothing in this game is cheap.
Right, and it never feels hopeless, either. Like, it always seems like, when you die, it always seems like the way to beat that level was in sight. Like, you knew what you had to do and how to get there, so it always felt, like, learnable.
I noticed that more watching someone else play. Yeah. You know, like, if I would watch someone else play, I'd be like, but why didn't you just do this? Yeah.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But if I was doing it, I did, I'm not going to lie to you, I did feel a little helpless. I was like, oh, shit, like, I really don't know what to do right now. Like, I kind of suck at this game.
I mean, I definitely felt helpless as far as my skill level, but I didn't feel helpless as, like, there's no possible way to do it.
Right,
I was like,
right,
I know
right.
what I have to learn to do. But the same reason I didn't put it on my essential list, which is the, first of all, the no saving overall. Like, you can't shut the game off and come back to it. Also, the pickups kind of being pointless or not very useful for the most part were the major things that made me decide to keep this number three and not number two.
Cool. Okay. I will give my number three, which is Mach Rider. I am putting Mach Rider at number three here. And, you know, I don't know what more I could say about Mach Rider that I didn't already cover in that episode. So, like, I'll just reiterate that for me, this game just, it exudes, like, such personality and confidence in a game, like, that has really no business, like, being that, like, awesome, you know? The gameplay, I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, the gameplay is not, like, the tightest thing ever, but I'm still gonna totally keep going back to that game just because of how much fun it is. Like, it's so much fun to be the Mach Rider and go, like, you know, on the apocalypse road, if you will, and shoot down your enemies. And even, like, when you're not playing the enemy side and you're just doing, like, the endurance, like, I still have a lot of fun just being in command of that motorcycle. I think the 3D thing about it didn't really, like, work out in its favor in the long run. Like, looking at it, like, sometimes I felt like I didn't necessarily have to die. You know, like the way that things were going, because I would have had a little more clairvoyance, but it's like, hey, that's just the way that they designed the game.
Yeah.
Like, you just gotta buff out those scratches.
Yeah, at least it's impressive in the way it does that.
That's
even
what I'm saying. Yeah,
perfect.
I think this is just like a very impressive game that has no business really, like, especially from Nintendo. Like, keep in mind, like, Mach Rider, I think, like, it came to the West before it ever went back to Japan. So it's just, like, interesting to see that game here being made, like, specifically, like, how do we capture that American audience? And they do it really well. You know, they get, like, that 80s blockbuster vibe to it. So, right. Mach Rider is totally up there for me. Even if I don't think that the gameplay is as tight as I originally thought in the episode.
But at least it's better than what a lot of us thought it was when we first turned it on, where you just couldn't avoid those enemies that were just coming and blowing you up.
You definitely have to change gears in-game. Sean, you're number three.
My number three is also Balloon Fight. I think that, I know that it's sort of a carbon copy of Joust in a way, but I didn't know what Joust was until after I played Balloon Fight. So this is just the most unique game that I've played in this 1986 lineup, just by virtue of, like, the movement mechanisms and the mode of attack, the strategy that you have to use just to get there. It's a lot of fun to play with friends. It's a lot of fun to play on your own. The music's great. Like, it's just a well-polished Nintendo game.
Great. Sam, number two.
Speaking of great, it's Gradius.
Hey, yes. Very nice. Maybe you could have said that with a little more confidence. But, okay.
No, it's Gradius.
It's Gradius.
It's Gradius. Gradius is just, it's a great game. You know, it's just fun. I don't know. It just works really well.
And you weren't on that episode, so
I wasn't.
I'd love to hear you just, like,
yeah,
say it
it's
up.
Just like the number twos are always a surprise. I wasn't on the golf episode and that one. Yeah.
You got to stick. See, that's what I'm saying, though. You got to. That's why nostalgia for me, it's like addictive. Like, I got to play every game because I never know, like, which game is going to surprise me.
Yeah. No, this game for sure surprised me. It feels great to play. I think the power up system is really cool in it. I don't know, it's just a lot of fun to play. There's bosses, you know, there's, like, weird little sub bosses, there's, like, environmental bosses, which is, like, an interesting thing on its own.
The cursed double volcano.
Yeah. We just talked about that.
Double upside down volcano.
Yeah. Sam didn't like the volcano either.
Well, I also didn't know that you could shoot the bursts.
Yeah,
out of the
you ran into the Joe problem.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I found, like, the exact spot on the screen where not a lot of them went, which is actually directly above the second volcano. If you can get there, I found that nothing ever hit me.
Wow.
Like, all the way on the ceiling, But directly a square above it.
Interesting. Yeah. That's never where I went.
Very nice. Joe, number two.
My number two is Balloon Fight.
Hey.
Very close to Ghosts and Goblins, but it gets number two. The controls feel very, very right to me. They feel floaty in like an intentional way. And it's kind of ridiculous to say this, but they feel accurate. Like, that's, like, I know that's not, probably not how you'd move if you were tied to two balloons flapping your arms around, but it feels like that's how you would move.
It's very,
like, it
realistic.
Feels right. Yes, it's very realistic.
It's kinesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, exactly. And then just, like, the chaos of everyone floating around on screen and trying to take each other out and, like, using that, those weird floaty, like, mechanics of the momentum to your advantage.
Right.
Or, like, them coming into your disadvantage. It's, I don't know, it's fun and it's unique. So that takes my number two.
Very cool. Sean, your number two.
My number two is Mach Rider. This game is just my aesthetic. I just want to be that, like, guy on the motorcycle in the desert, post-apocalypse. Everything's dying. I'd rather it not be aliens. I want it to just be, like, man has done this to themselves. But between the sense of speed that you get playing through this game, I know that, like, it's not perfect in terms of all of its mechanics, but it does convey a great sense of speed. And the atmosphere is great. I still am kicking myself for not making this an essential
game. Yeah, you were even bummed a little bit after the episode, but that you didn't vote for it.
That
was interesting.
I know. I didn't know what was stopping me, and I still, like, sit up at night. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning in a sweat. And I'm like, you could have saved Mach Rider.
Wait, Mach Rider didn't
it
go
did,
on?
It did, it did.
It did,
yeah,
okay, but I could have been a part of that.
He could have been a part of it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. And Joe is, like, looking at me lately because I've been smirking like crazy.
Well, I see that you're looking at the tally.
And it's not even just the tally. It's not even that Sam is writing very creative names for some of these, okay? Like, what's the one that you wrote for Sean? For Spookers and Goobers for Ghosts and Goblins. Dunkus Congus. There's some good ones on there. Marider. Marider.
Marider.
Oh, yeah.
Ghosts and Paul Ryan. Definitely.
It's polarizing for some.
Right, yeah. But I'm smirking, actually, because I see exactly... I'm seeing the future right now.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
seeing
That's
exactly
why I wasn't looking, because I didn't want to see
all the things falling into place exactly where I want the chips to fall. So this is beautiful. And I will finish off the number two picks with my number two, which is Balloon Fight. Balloon Fight is my number two. And, you know, I will throw this out there. This is going to be weird to say. This is the game I had the most fun playing out of all the games in 1986. And, you know, not that Super Mario Brothers isn't perfect, but this is up there, like, in terms of fun games, you know, like, just games that are really fun to play. Because something about, like it's addictive. Like, I just keep going back, and I'm not a high score guy, but something makes me want to keep playing that high score thing. The fluid motion of it and the ability to either, like, flap singly with the A or multi-flap with B is multi-flap. That's got to be in a new manual that I make specifically for the game. I'm talking about multi-flap. And the different modes, too, of just being, like, single player is its own kind of, like, juggernaut, and then, like, you know, two-player adds, like, this co-op but competitive mode similar to, like, what Mario Brothers was doing. And I just think that's really cool. So, like, everything I liked about, like, a lot of the arcade games kind of, like, really comes together in Balloon Fight. So I think, like, awesome for that. But just also the balloon trip mode, like you were talking about, with not even just the song, but just, like, it was a whole new way to play that game, and I would love to see other modes. So I am not only announcing that Balloon Fight is my number two, but definitely, like, the most fun I had with a game in 1986.
It's funny because you were, before this episode, you were kind of just playing through a bunch of games, and I was watching you play Balloon Fight, and I was going to ask you, like, you've been playing this game, haven't you? This isn't your first time since the episode.
I definitely like playing Balloon Fight, and I don't know if that's just, like, you know, whether it's the Nintendo charm of it or if it's the Iwata thing, you know. But, like, something about Balloon Fight just works. Yeah. And I think, like, that speaks enough for it.
Yeah. I think, personally, I like Balloon Fight more
than I did on the episode.
Yeah.
Now that it's like sat with me a little bit.
You were remote on that episode too, so you didn't really have a chance to like talk that much, but you seem to have enjoyed it, but I don't think you were as hype about it as everybody else. Whereas like Commando, you just couldn't stop talking.
Yeah, true. I wish you would stop.
I don't know if I'm right where Sean is with Mock Writer as far as I don't know if I fully regret not voting for it to be essential, but I'm a little closer to be like, I don't know if I would to do it again if I would have voted Balloon Fight to be essential.
All right. So,
if I could start, I'm just so glad that we could all be a part of this moment because my number one is Ninja Kid. No, it will be Gradius. The one game aside from Super Mario Brothers that it looks like this is like in a new era of video games for me and the NES. It is so smooth and it's so fast paced and all of the power ups and all this stuff just happening on the screen. It was chaos, but not in the way that we keep complaining about in these games. It was just that fun like shmup. It was a lot of fun. That's the only word I can use right now.
Yes, it was my number one game as well. Gradius is my number one game of 1986. And I think it's like, it's just crazy. Let's talk about this in the episode, but I really thought about it recently, like going back to it. Like the ability to select your power-ups and kind of play like this risk and reward game with yourself. Yeah. Like player choice in a video game of like, Of a genre that really just didn't ever do player choice before and has now, like, decided that it's going to do it. But also, like, the first time we're even experiencing that in an NES game, period. Like, yeah, you have, like, some choice about how you're going to tackle, like, the objective of a game. But this is one that's directly, like, influencing your character. You know, like, you're playing as Vic Viper and it's like, well, the ship is Vic Viper. And it's like, how are you going to, like, you know, customize your ship and make it this way? You know, like, some loadouts don't work against certain bosses. So you really have to, like, think about what you're going to do. But then there's also that, like, that risk of, like, oh, I might lose it all if I don't get this power up right now, you know? So I can't wait for option. I have to get, like, speed up right now. So this way I can cruise through all of these Maui islands. Like Maui or Moai? Moai, right?
I don't know.
We never got to the bottom of that.
Something will happen.
Something I did get to the bottom of very recently was the Brutus or Bluto debate. Yes. And it turns out that it is both is the answer, and it just depends on
Brutus.
Like,
I actually thought Pluto, if you remember, in the episode. I thought it was Pluto.
Yeah, and then that got us into a whole separate conversation about Pluto and Goofy.
That's right.
Anyway, Joe, what's your number one game of 1986?
Number one game, 1986, Gradius.
Hey!
And Gradius, that kind of game, that kind of like space shmup, I guess, is not usually my type of game. So this one really stood out to me. It felt so polished and like full of content. So, you know, that was, it felt very different to me than...
Yeah, I'm right on board with you. Yeah. Like, I'm not usually the kind of guy to play these kind of games. I don't know why. I guess it's just usually not my jam, but there's just something special about Gradius.
Right. Isn't it weird we've played tons of futuristic games at this point compared to the games we're playing, but this game, when we play it in context to the 86 and 85 games, it feels like it's from the future.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we had just gotten done playing 1942, which felt like it was made in the 70s for some reason. I mean, I hated 1942.
Which is okay to say.
Yeah, but... It was just it's night and day between these two games. I don't know what they did differently aside from the perspective and the way that you're flying, right. But yeah.
Well, I mean, I just kind of wrote down a couple things as I was just deciding. I was writing down things I liked about it, and I was like, I guess this is my number one game. I like so much about it, and I, you know, I've got, there's a pretty deep power up system, like, for its time. There's plenty of great music, which is something we haven't really talked about. There's great graphics. There's smooth controls, consistently fun, and varying gameplay. Like, it's not always exactly the same. So it was just like, wow, none of these other games have all of that going for it. So it just feels like the most complete game.
Great.
Of 86.
I love it. Yeah, of 86. Sam, would you like to vote any parades? you can't vote for Gradius for 1 and 2, and you've already voted for number 2.
I know. I'm a simple man. You put me on a motorcycle in a post-apocalyptic city, and you tell me to go fast and shoot stuff, and I'm happy with that. There's something about Mock Rider that I'll just keep coming back to it and playing it. It's a kind of game where you can just play it for short bursts and have a great time. And that's the kind of game that works just for what I like to like use gaming for. It's right. not something that has like a long, like a
Drawn
long
arc.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have a.
You get right into the action too. Like,
yeah,
I love how like you're what you're saying. You know, you go to endurance mode. You just do a quick run through. You see what you can do, and then you're just
and
like,
But but even then, like I'll still just I'll get hooked again. It hooks me every time I play it. I'm like, oh, I'll do a quick race. And I'm like, oh well, I can do better than that or something. You know, and I just for it's so simple. And I get that there are bigger games, and Gradius has a whole like crazy system and. Like boss fights and all this stuff, and I'm not knocking that at all. This is just for me. This is the kind of game that is like perfect for me.
That's
this,
awesome.
This is a great
I don't
game.
Think Mach Rider is a bad number one pick, to be honest.
No, and I kind of actually love how Joe made it number four. I made it number three. Sean made it number two, and Sam made it number one. Like wow. Everybody has it in a different spot,
but
we
it's always
all
there.
Feel good about
like,
it.
My list is actually my two and one have like an arrow pointing between the two of them because I didn't know which one I was going to place higher because
It
was a game day decision. Yeah. So yeah, between I think that Gradius and Mach Rider are in a different echelon in my top five. Like, there's my top five, but then there's also my top two. Like,
right.
And those aren't touched
yeah.
by the rest.
Of I would say I think Mach Rider feels the closest to what we were just saying about Gradius about being like, you know, the next level of video games. Like,
yeah,
it feels
yeah.
like the next gen, I guess.
Right. When's that next-gen Nintendo console coming out? No. I totally understand, and that's awesome. So we're going to take a quick break and play the Mach Rider theme, and then, sorry, Joe, no balloon
no,
trip.
No. How are we going to tally to this music?
Yeah, we're going to play the Mach Rider theme, and when we come back, we'll give you the results. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that track, which I was just saying that track alone should make it my number one game. But let's finish this countdown. All right, so everybody voted. Now let's do the list. Okay, so coming in at number five is Donkey Kong.
With three.
Thank you for, yeah. I didn't know if that was confusing, like, to add. I was like,
yeah,
you know, like,
three
but I think it does matter. Yeah, with
yeah.
3 points.
3 votes.
Donkey Kong comes in at number five. I feel good about that. In with number four comes with 7 points, Ghosts and Goblins. As I prefer it now, Scoobers and Goobers.
Spookers and
Spookers.
Goobers.
Spookers and Goobers.
I like Scoobers. It's like Scooby-Doo, you know?
But sure. Yeah. Okay.
I would like to see a ROM hack where you play as Scooby-Doo instead of the knight.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yep. That's... And he, like, loses his skin the first time he gets in. He's just a skeleton dog that, like, all right, never mind. I'm leaving that.
But then when he dies, what is he? His skeleton... So he's already
like bone marrow.
Ew.
Guys, this might seem like a big problem, but we have a bigger problem, okay?
Right.
We have a tie between Mach Rider and Balloon Fight for number
second.
3 and 2.
Yeah.
Okay? They are both tied at 14 points apiece. And while I thought at first that the only fair way to decide this was to have both games fight each other in Karate Champ, I realized that is cruel and unusual punishment. So instead...
We're doing tag team wrestling.
What we decided was the worst game, actually. We are going to just do an open debate, I guess, about it until somebody convinces everybody where it should stand.
See, I guess we could do an open debate, but I think we could also just do it mathematically. It may not be more fun, but I'd say Mock Rider has a number one vote and a number two vote.
Okay.
And Balloon Fight has two number two votes.
Which is,
you know, even though Balloon
seems pretty even, though.
Even though Balloon Fight is my choice, I think what you're saying makes sense because we all just chose these. Are we going to convince each other?
Yeah, I mean,
otherwise,
I just think that like the average ranking of Mock Rider is higher than Balloon Fight.
This is absurd.
Sam, what do you think?
You guys know where I rest on this.
Well,
I think
right.
That, yeah.
But I mean, as far as how we should handle this.
Is this absurd, Mike?
No, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I just think Balloon Fight's a really good game. It'd be an awful shame to see it finish out in third.
I agree. Oof. But I'm just saying, I think that's not an unfair idea.
Okay, here's why I'm willing to concede. Okay, not because this has been going on for a while now, this episode, but also just because we just listened to that theme song, and that theme song is so hot that I'd be okay with saying that Mock Rider got 14.5 points and Balloon Fight got 14, even though we're just going to keep it at 14 and 14.
Yeah.
I'll be comfortable leaving Balloon Fight at third if everybody else is.
Oh, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I think I prefer it at second, but I think that that's a very fair way to do it.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Very nice of you to bring up, Sean.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. Balloon Fight is a pretty good game.
You put Mock Rider as your number one. Oh, my God. Okay, so Mock Rider coming in at number two with 14, which leaves Balloon Fight at number three with 14. And so our number one game with 19 points is Gradius. Yep, make no mistake about it. Gradius is the number one game of 1986. Guys, what are we thinking?
Yep.
Good.
Yep. Okay. I think it deserves it.
No, you can fight us on this. You can yell at us on Twitter.
I have a really interesting point to make before anybody fights us.
Okay.
Super Mario Brothers came in first in 1985 with 19 points as
wow.
well.
Wow.
Wow. So I don't know if I'm going to open up a can of worms here, but does anybody have, like, their top five NES games period so far that we've played? So combining 85 and 86? I can do mine to buy some time.
I could do mine as well.
I can with a very little thought version of mine, but off the top of my head.
Yeah, like, you know, just, like, what you're feeling at this moment. So for me, Super Mario Brothers stays at number one, all right? Sorry, Gradius, but you are number two now. Number three is Balloon Fight. Number four is Golf, and number five is Mock Rider. So only two 1985 games remain at this point. 86 games are swallowing. And it's just so weird to think about because
think
they're not too
way.
Hyped on
yeah.
the year. It just had a lot of good games
yeah.
somehow.
I would say that my top three from 1986 just get sandwiched between two games from 1985. So, yeah, number one is Super Mario Brothers, and then Gradius, and then Mock Rider, and then Balloon Fight. And then Duck Hunt.
Oh, Golf got off the list.
Oh, that was really that.
It was about time. It was about time. Okay, it's kind of surprising it's still on.
Yeah, we should be. There's a problem with the
I
golf
should grow
obsession.
Sam?
It's pretty similar, if not identical. I'm trying to think. No, not identical, because I prefer Mock Rider. Right. So we got Super Mario Brothers. Still, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Then we got Mock Rider, just me, preference. Then we got Gradius, Balloon Fight, and what's my last one?
You like Duck Hunt at all?
I like Duck Hunt. I don't know. It's not like my favorite game.
What about Spookers and Goobers?
Spookers and Goobers. I wouldn't put it up that high.
No. You like that at number five.
Yeah.
You're pretty high on Clue Clue Land, right?
Clue Clue Land.
I feel like you had one in 85 that was very unique, right? That was that no one else had, like Pinball or something?
Oh, I had Pinball, but I wouldn't play. I'm not playing Pinball.
Okay.
I don't know. Five is kind of like
five
an empty.
Five is empty right
empty.
Now.
Yeah, I don't really have.
Yeah, my you'd top rather go four outside. Number five, going outside.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I'll put what the heck. I'll put Golf up there because it's
nice.
My number two of
Golf, baby.
Of 1985, and it's a very different one compared to the rest of them.
Fair.
Joe, top five.
So I still stay top one at the blasphemous Duck Hunt.
Wow,
over Super Mario Brothers,
still the number one game.
Super Mario Brothers stays at number two, then Gradius, then Balloon Fight, and then like I'm honestly still torn between Wrecking Crew and Ghosts and Goblins. Like,
wow,
oddly.
Okay.
Wrecking Crew, like, I wasn't crazy about the game, but I loved the creation mode.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, I really don't know.
You still got the game running so they don't, like, delete your
yeah,
board,
yeah, they
right?
will delete it. At home. Right.
It's just still running. It's been, like, 6 months now. I don't know. Can I leave these like perpetually in like
yes,
in,
they're
in eternal
motion.
Combat?
I allow
like,
that.
Okay.
The last thing before we close out the show, I don't know if anything's about to happen because we haven't really talked about it, but we do need to discuss a little business here, gentlemen, and that is the Essential Games List. All right. So right now on the Essential Games List, we have Super Mario Brothers, we have Duck Hunt, we have Balloon Fight, Mach Rider, and we have Gradius. Those are five amazing games. Would anyone like to make a motion for a game to be added or removed from that list?
Can that happen?
That can happen if you feel like it now you would like to add your name to that list.
I think it has to happen. And I feel like I've been carrying like the sins of the father like for however many months it's been. Since this
countless night, I haven't slept in 40 days. Sam, are you saying that you might like to have your name on the Gradius? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Amazing. Okay. Your name will be on Gradius
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
Joe, you want to get your name on anything, or do you want to start tearing walls down?
It's funny, Balloon Fight. I'm still like I also just I'm so indecisive right now because Balloon Fight. I part of me wants to put my name next to Balloon Fight. But part of me wants to stand by my initial. But you know what? I think Balloon Fight deserves my vote.
There you go. Okay. Any games getting added?
So there's this game called Excitebike.
No,
you're not getting me to change my vote for Excitebike again.
For those uninformed, Excitebike was an essential game that was taken down in the Best of 1985 episode. And unfortunately, at this point now, when we do our recaps for the end of the year, you have to get unanimous voting to get back on or off the list. So it's not so easy, and I don't know if Excitebike will ever make it back. But some of you hated us for putting Excitebike on the essential game list.
I mean, I was suspicious from the beginning.
Huh. I'm sorry that I had a hand in putting Excitebike on the essential.
Who cares?
Hey, that you design know, mode.
It's a. I have no regrets putting it on the essential game.
I still
list.
Like Excitebike.
For the time, it was like, wow, I didn't know that NES games could be like this, you know. And then hey,
at the very launch of the console,
yeah.
Who
yeah.
knew?
Yeah.
He says the fourth game he's ever
yeah,
played.
Yeah, I got really excited. It's like, well, this is no Clue Land.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think that's about all the time we have for this episode of Nostalgia. Please join us in 1987, our 2018, I'm pretty sure, if it's probably close to the end of 2018 at this point. Sorry, guys. We record these in advance.
Happy Hanukkah.
So who knows what's on the website right now. That's nostalgiacast.com. You know how to spell it. It's the name of the show. And nostalgiacast.com is where you can find, like, all sorts of show notes and articles and listicles and click holes and, you know, you could just keep clicking for hours. And I've heard that if you click on the podcast link 1,000 times, you'll get a special email from contact at nostalgiacast.com. That's contact at nostalgiacast.com. And that's the email that you can, you know, contact us at. For all sorts of things where you can tell us, hey, here's my top games of 1986. Here's why Gradius sucks. Here's why Ghosts and Goblins should be formally recalled Spookers and Goobers. You know, it's like everything is cool. And if you want to tell me why you think you can single-handedly destroy every known cart of a game and also remove its existence from the internet, you can also send me something about that.
Yeah. There is a hidden pixel on the website that if you click on it, it will give you all of our social security numbers. So please, look into that.
Really just spend a lot of time on the website.
Yeah. Click
I'm
on
sure
every,
I made a mistake somewhere.
Yeah.
There's no bounty, though, for
no, that's not
mistakes.
How you get
yeah,
people
yeah.
on the website.
Have
you say, there are no mistakes on this website.
Well,
I've
never wondered if NES baseball is haunted.
Wow, the second ever game. For the NES, and it's haunted.
Well,
is
why?
It?
Read up on that.
Yeah,
why
maybe.
Would it be haunted?
Well, that's a good question, Sam, but that's a question for another time. We'll do a special episode on that.
we should do a
Halloween-themed episode for that. All right, I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on at Esposito Film on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, Nostalgia posts a lot of cool stuff like Mario ice cream. You guys love that post. Should I post other ice creams? Maybe I should make my own ice cream.
We should maybe get an episode.
Maybe on my own personal account, I'll post a picture of me eating ice cream. Who knows? Sky's the limit. So is 1987. That's the limit for now. This is my limit. This is the end of the show's limit. Keep watching. Subscribe. Listen.
Get the limits.
Maximum limit.
Now it's time for the post show.
Welcome to the post show. Hey, 1986. Guys, what came out in 1986?
Man, fuck 1986, am I right?
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what the funny thing about 1986 is?
What? Nothing?
It didn't happen twice. Like we said in the
topic. Well, they named it twice.
Well,
who named it? Someone.
It did happen twice. 1986 BC.
That's not the same year.
Oh my gosh, that's actually really true though. Like technically we've already seen the year 4000 just backwards.
Yeah, but we didn't call it that.
We didn't call it the year 4000.
Well, we didn't
backwards.
Call this
we
year
start,
the year
we didn't start at 4000.
Oh, we have to make sure that this happens at zero.
That reminds me of like when Louis C.K. did that whole thing about like they weren't calling it like the year 12 and then he was like but I'm 26. So, like, what year is it? The year 12, like it was decided like, you know, when everybody who was comfortably dead at that point like reassuring like, "Oh wow, it's 700." Like I'm
dead.
Yeah. Well, most people die comfortably, but
they don't call this year like.
Actually, back then people were not dying.
Not dead.
No, they were just weren't dying comfortably.
Yeah,
they weren't living comfortably.
Yeah,
I was gonna say they don't call this year like Earth extinction -7.
Oh
you know?
Shit, you're right.
Yeah.
They just call it 2018.
Is that year you calling that right now? -7.
Yeah, 7 years.
I bet money on that.
7 years.
Yeah.
Against me or with or like
against you? So if it's
so you
not
think it's not gonna
years,
you think it won't last that long?
No. I think that if we're still alive in 7 years, then you have to pay me.
I'd make that bet too.
All right, and if we're not, if we're not alive, you gotta pay me.
I will pay you my entire savings.
I made that bet for 2012. Actually, I actually made that bet. I didn't collect because I'm a nice guy, but if someone really made that bet with me.
Trying to look up some events that happened in 1986.
What we got? I think NES did something.
The infamous FBI shootout in Miami results in the death of 2 FBI agents and the wounding of 5 others on April 11th. Oh, wow. April 26th, the Chernobyl disaster.
Oh.
All right, so.
I forgot to talk about, give a shout out to Chernobyl.
Yeah.
My Chernobyl.
I just did like a crazy thing on that, by the way. Like a trip down memory lane, I guess.
Did you go to Chernobyl?
No. Like 100, I found like 100 plus Imgur album of just like photos showing like the days before and after. Yeah. And it was just like, it was crazy, like, to see that stuff. So
it's cute, yeah.
It's, it's like the guy who was standing, like, directly behind it when it happened, like, evaporated. He was just essentially vaporized.
Wow.
Like the very second
funny,
that it happened.
Like,
yeah, I know, but think about it, though. Like, it happened fast enough that he doesn't even, like, know it happened.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, like.
And he did get to become Dr. Manhattan.
All of his atoms, like. Just undid themselves. Like, it's insane.
That's crazy.
Also, the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion happened.
Oh, man. A lot of not good stuff.
Things happened.
Yeah, so far we talked about the FBI shootout and that, too.
But at
so.
Least we got Gradius.
Yeah. another thing that Wikipedia wants to highlight is that the Mindbender at Fantasyland inside the West Edmonton Mall derailed, killed 3 riders, injured 1 rider, and slams into a concrete post.
What happy stuff happened then?
Very insane.
Was there anything happy that happened
all
then?
Of this happened.
What about music? I feel like there was some cool music then, right? What albums came out then?
Unfortunately, that information is not readily available.
Yeah. Well, no one actually knows when music comes out.
My parents met in college in 86.
Okay. Great.
All right. Go. That's cool.
Fine. Yeah.
I'm here.
Good.
Oh, the Phantom of the Opera opens at Her Majesty's Theater in London.
Three people were murdered there, though.
The Phantom.
The fandom of the opera.
The phantom of the fandom. The Statue of Liberty is reopened to the public after celebrating its centennial and then an extensive refurbishment.
Yacent.
Yacent. All right, that's all I have to say. That's the post show. Anybody else got anything?
Talk about Hot Wheels?
Chinese food.
Ooh, Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about Hot Wheels, though, didn't we?
Also, for the 1985 episode, we had a good portion where we talked about those styrofoam cups with the sunset on it. We didn't have an 1986 equivalent of that.
What were the styrofoam cups with the sunset?
Yes, like it was someone's what 1985 reminds you of the most.
Isn't that? I think
it
was you. Didn't we say that was
the blue squiggle?
That's the 90s one.
Yeah, the blue squiggle. Yeah, that's a 90s.
No, someone
thing.
Said it. I think you said it, Mike, okay. For 1985.
Yeah, so I was just being a piece of shit.
Is that a sunset?
I was just being garbage.